This morning, I would like to begin my thoughts in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 13. Let me figure out where I would like to begin. I'll just start where about the 31st verse of this book, chapter 13, Luke. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, unto Jesus, "Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee." And Jesus said unto them, "Go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem." This 33rd verse is one of what I really want to grab hold of here as I try to go through some of my thoughts this morning. Actually ran across this verse long after I began to try to study and meditate on what was on my mind. I want to talk about some of the walking or the travels of Jesus Christ while he was here. Good morning, Sister Laureen. I didn't see you back there, Brother George. Good to see y'all. I've talked a lot, tried to preach on some of the travels of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, others, Luke, and so forth. And I believe that's important. A lot of space is given in God's Word for those things. But I don't know that I've ever tried to preach about the walking of Jesus Christ. Now, strangely enough, this morning, as I was trying to get my thoughts together, my mother-in-law requested the song "Footsteps of Jesus," and then Kathy selected "He Leadeth Me." He leads us in this life, but "Footsteps of Jesus," and so that was encouraging to me. Don't think that me sitting down there on the pew at 10:55, 11, right in there, that I fully realize what I to preach on or feel comfortable with it. Feel like the Lord's led me in that, because it doesn't always happen that way, but many times things happen. Songs are selected, and I mentioned that pertain to the subject on my mind. So I pray that God is in this. He says, "Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following." So he walks. He has to do that. Whatever Herod, that fox he calls him, Herod had something against him. Well, he wanted him dead. He had boys 2 years and younger all killed when he couldn't get the travelers to Bethlehem at the birth of Jesus to come back and tell him where is he and all. He was going to have him killed. And so Jesus knows who this guy is. And so this is Herod. Now, Herod the Great, the one in the rebuilding and remodeling and adding on to of the temple, that's not this Herod. This is Herod Antipas. He's the son, one of the sons of Herod the Great. So after Herod the Great's death, then the lands there in Israel, in that region, were all distributed among his sons. And so Herod Antipas, he received both Galilee and Perea. Perea, two regions. Perea is kind of east of the Jordan River, down south east of Galilee. And those are big regions there. But anyway, just to give you that. But I read this 31st verse, kind of a side thought, I suppose. But it says, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. For my first thought is, well, that's kind of them. That's kind of them to warn him, you're going to be killed. You're a marked man. So get thee hence, get out. Well, and it says, certain of the Pharisees. Now, I don't know what every single one of the Pharisees thought, what their actions are, and what some of their thoughts. I remember Gamaliel that told him, like, if he's of God, then we need to leave him alone because he's of God and we can't win. If he's not, he'll destroy himself. And all good advice. Anyway, going back, let me just real quickly show you what they were thinking. In the 11th chapter, real quickly, around the 37th verse, it says, and as Jesus spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. Oh, well, there's some more kindness of the Pharisees. They want him to eat supper with them. So that's nice. And he went in and sat down to meet. He went in there. Jesus went into the Pharisee's house to eat, to sup with him. Then he says, and when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Oh my goodness. Now I know parents tell their kids, you go wash your hands before dinner. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But this Pharisee, that's what he noticed. The Son of God comes at his house, and he didn't wash before he sat down to eat. Now, in the in this same, if I can find it, in the 53rd verse, the same chapter 11 of Luke. And as Jesus Christ said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things. Well, there's three good responses or actions of the Pharisees and scribes, isn't it? Well, let's get the next verse. Laying wait for him. They were just waiting for him to slip up. Laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. There's the reason. There's all the reasons there. They weren't for him. They were against him, just as Herod Antipas was. So it was a almost, and when they warned him to depart hence, get thee out, Herod will kill thee. It's just pretending friendship. It's not honest. It's not sincere. There. Now, in Matthew, the second chapter, and I hope to go through some of this stuff pretty quickly, but as I've studied this, I saw Jesus Christ was everywhere. He was all over. And he didn't have the cars that we have. He didn't have the... He walked. They walked. We know that. I know y'all know that. He walked everywhere. For me to walk just once around the block, I mean, I'm done. At home, I try to do that. I cannot imagine. But anyway, so it says in the first verse of chapter 2 of the Gospel of Matthew, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Bethlehem was just south of Jerusalem. It's right there close. I didn't check how far. Some of these I like to know. Well, how far was that he traveled? I just like a picture of it. But he's born in Bethlehem. And if we skip to around the fifth and sixth verses, it says, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. So this is Bethlehem in the land of Judah. This is where it was prophesied that the Messiah would be born, right there. So it's a fulfilling scripture. We see all through this, it's the fulfillment of scripture. And the Pharisees, the Sadducees, Sanhedrin, that court, and so everyone, the Jews, they all had those prophecies. It wasn't revealed to them in fullness because they were looking for another. They certainly didn't expect Jesus, born in Bethlehem, and then of Nazareth, to be the Messiah, the King of Kings. No, that can't be him. That can't be. Let's keep looking. Let's keep looking for another. In the 13th verse of this same second chapter of Matthew, and when they when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream. So an angel comes to Joseph, Mary's husband, in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Here, and it says in the 15th verse, and they were there, they departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod. Herod the Great, that it might, it's hard to keep up with all these names, then they have the same name. But anyway, and that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. That's in Hosea chapter 11. So it said that he'd be out of Egypt. And you might think, well, Bethlehem, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Capernaum, all the Egypt, but it's again scripture fulfilled. He said, out of Egypt, he's still the one. He's the one here. And so they fled to Egypt. So they go Bethlehem to Egypt. And again, long way, but they followed. I tell you what, if an angel told me, came into my sleep, I would probably, knowing me, I confess, I would question. Second guess, you know. Oh no, it can't mean that, or it can't be this or that. They took him. And then what I like about this is that it says, "Until I bring the word to leave Egypt." So they knew it was temporary, but until he brings this angel brings him word. So that's nice. I would love to know how long to stay there. I wish maybe sometimes an angel would come to guests that we have at our house. You know, let's go to bed. I think my father-in-law used to say, let's go to bed so these nice folks can go home, is what he would say. But to tell them when to come back. So in verse 19 of the same book, as I move through here, you can see. So I didn't know every place that Jesus even went. And that's a disgrace for me. Not knowing, like, these are all the places that Jesus Christ walked and was. And we'll see more of some of the reasons and the blessings, you know, beyond his miraculous healings and miracles and so forth. It's the 19th verse. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, just like he said he would, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. So he's go to Israel. Israel's pretty big. So, okay, but he, you know, go to Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child's life. It's safe now. I'd feel much better than somebody getting word by whatever messenger or something saying, okay, everything's good now, you can come back. Sometimes it's not. But an angel told him, everything's good. Those that sought the young child's life are gone. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. So we still got Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. Just a young child here. came into the land of Israel. Now, in the 22nd verse, though, it says, but when he heard, Joseph heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea. This is another brother of Herod, and he's reigning there. Now, this was the property. The Judea was where was given to that brother, whereas Herod Antipas was given Galilee and Perea. So when he heard that he did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. So they go into Galilee. That's way north of Israel. But yeah, I always kind of think of Jerusalem, where it is, and all. Of course, then Bethlehem. Didn't go back to Bethlehem. They go into Israel, but they go into Galilee, into that area. He turned aside. But being warned of God in a dream. Joseph's not just saying, well, I guess I'll go here, I guess I'll go there. No, he's being guided by God. This is the mother of Jesus and her husband with Jesus. But so at this point, his footsteps, if you will, are being guided by an angel, by God himself there. And through all of this, Jesus Christ has come for a purpose. His purpose, God's purpose, because he is God, he's going to go to the cross. Even at this point, all the sentimental and sappy feelings, thoughts I may have about children, my granddaughter in particular, and others. When children are involved in anything and something maybe not so good in the world or something, I'm just touched by that. And so I think of this this child here, but God watching over them, telling them where to go. It's and you think, okay, what does that have to do with me? He does the same thing with us, but we don't always listen. Don't always listen. But he tells, even for a weekend, we know, yeah, I was planning on and wanted to go over here and all, but I really feel strongly I'm burdened to go over here, maybe to this church meeting or that, so forth. And I have no idea why, but I'd better go. It's not just for preachers either, by the way. It's for everyone. So he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. 23rd verse, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. Here we are at Nazareth. This is where Jesus was raised. And there's a big gap in here. I want to know what happened in that gap because we hear of him there at Nazareth here, and then all of a sudden he's going to get baptized by John the Baptist, and his ministry has begun. I don't know what happened all in there, but we don't need to know, apparently. But he came to a city called Nazareth to finish this sentence, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. So far, it's like, well, he's in Bethlehem, then he went to Egypt, he came back to Israel. This can't be him. He's not a Nazarene. Well, now he is. They're dwelling in Nazareth there. Now, and Nazareth is a town, small town, in Galilee, the region of Galilee. It is, at the time, it was just a little, in fact, not very many miles at all, 4 or 5 miles, I think, southeast of the capital of that Galilean region, the capital. So it's right there, and it's about, I think, 90 miles north of Jerusalem. That's a long way. That's where it is. It's way up there. And so scripture's fulfilled again. Now, let me shift gears and then come back around, but let me put this in here, and it's right here in the next chapter. We'll see. And I want to always myself put at the beginning of that first verse of the third chapter, I want to put in the word. Meanwhile, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. He's down in Judea, in the land of Judah, and all. He's baptized, as you know, in the Jordan River, east of Jerusalem. And where Jesus was baptized was even a little east of Jericho in the Jordan River, which was a greater distance from Jerusalem. It was northeast of Jerusalem, but so it wasn't in Jerusalem when he goes to be baptized. So John the Baptist is down there while all this other stuff's going on. Jesus is taken by Mary and Joseph to Nazareth here. And now, let me grab this because I'll use this later. In the second verse, it says, "And say, John the Baptist is saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It's here right now, kingdom of heaven. That's what he's preaching there. For preaching and I guess gathering crowds, and the Jews were intimidated by that and threatened, then he ends up being beheaded, John the Baptist. So this is what he's preaching, and this is while Mary, Joseph, and Jesus are in Nazareth in Galilee. In the 13th verse of this same chapter, following the footsteps of Jesus here, verse 13 says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." Jesus came to be baptized. It gives us the reason he came. He walked 90 miles, give or take, from Nazareth, from Galilee, down to just east of Jericho to the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. He came there. So now he's back in Judea. He's come there. And the whole time, you know, he is not out. Just like the Apostle Paul and those that traveled with him, we've read, and even recently, that they used their minds. They saw the warnings and so forth. And they would travel, and certainly when Paul was warned by the Holy Ghost, you're not to go up in this region. But then other things where they were physically threatened, they would go maybe, oh, we got to leave and let's go. When Paul was stoned there and left for dead, then they took him, they went somewhere else and all. Jesus, just remember, this is Jesus the man Christ Jesus walked these places. But it's also God here. And God has a perfect purpose. Even right here, right now, as he went down to be baptized of John, he's fulfilling the purpose. He's doing the will of his Father at this point. But it's all at the right time. It's not time yet. Well, why didn't he go on to Calvary and go through the crucifixion? It wasn't his time. His time was not yet come yet. And there's a lot to do between the time when he's born from Bethlehem to back in Jerusalem at that point. So he went, now he's back in Judea, in that region. Now I'm going to go over to John, the first chapter. John chapter 1. And this picks up when, same time, but by the writings of John himself here, that Jesus arrived at the Jordan there east of Jerusalem and Jericho. 35th verse of the first chapter of Gospel of John. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." John the Baptist had not met this man before. He didn't know. It's not like, well, I've seen pictures of this. Oh, that's who that is. I recognize him, or I met him years ago. And I typically say, oh, yeah, I know who you are, but I can't remember your name. And that's getting worse. But he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now, in this, and think about John the Baptist's preaching, his message that was prophesied by the prophet Malachi in the third chapter of Malachi. He's prophesied. And think of all the ones that then, when he saw the Lamb of God, how that might have affected his preaching. And so you think about the footsteps of Jesus here and the effect that it has as he moves through here. Despite what man might think, it's like, well, he's over here at the Jordan. He didn't even come to Jerusalem yet, to the synagogues and so forth. I know he was taken there when he was young and so forth. But John the Baptist recognized this. Behold, the Lamb of God, the walk of Jesus Christ, the literal walk, his travels affected John the Baptist and that message. Jesus Christ, if we truly believe and don't just think it's a fable, that Jesus Christ is in the midst of the church and singing and so forth and is present here, well, then he also has an effect on the messages today the same way. Behold, the Lamb of God. So he certainly, this is, he is affected and all those around him. And the two disciples heard him speak, John, and they followed Jesus. They heard John speak and follow Jesus. Is that not what's supposed to happen today? Is that you hear someone preach, you see someone that is displaying the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, then what do? Glorify them? No, you follow Jesus Christ. Now, must you do that to be in heaven? No, you're going to be there. If you have that desire to follow Jesus Christ and say, behold, the Lamb of God, then you are one of God's children that will be in heaven some sweet day. You'll be there. But now, I want to be as Joseph was there. Every time he had a vision or a dream, and these angels were telling him where to go to take the Son of Man, the Son of God, there. And then God told him, no, don't go here. You go on up to Nazareth there. And then each time, Scripture was fulfilled. God is perfect, and yet he's loving toward us, and he guided them in their walk. Jesus Christ was and is and will forever be God himself, and he knew where to go. He knew where he was to go and what he had to do. He was baptized not to be saved and washed of his sins. That's ludicrous. He had no sins. It was an example for us. So they follow Jesus. I'm going to try to skip through some of this because Jesus begins to pick up his disciples, his apostles here at this time. He's down more closer to that area where they were. They weren't in Nazareth. Why would they have gone there? It certainly had a negative connotation. 46 verse says, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? But Nathanael soon changed his tune there. But he finds Andrew who was the brother, Simon Peter's brother. And then he first findeth his own brother, Simon, and he tells him about Jesus. And he brought him to Jesus. And I wish I was more like that, where, you know, I'd go and say, hey, you need to come see. You need to come see. Think, no. Anyway, that's just another one of my faults. But we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. So Andrew tells his brother, Simon Peter, Cephas, he has all these names. But he tells him, we found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. It's a little foreshadowing in there, isn't there? You know what? Next time he has a Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, stone, a little pebble. So now, in following again, back on the where Jesus traveled, where he walked, the footsteps of Jesus. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. He finds him. So remember, he's down on the Jordan River down here in Judea, and now he goes back to Galilee, that region up there. And remember, Rome has, they are over all of these regions, and they allow the Jewish people to do certain things and all, and they try to keep the peace and so forth. But so there's danger here. At some point, he's traveling. You know, he goes through, talks about the Good Samaritan and so forth. But so he goes back to Galilee. And then that's when Philip finds Nathanael, and he tells him, Jesus of Nazareth. And it says, of whom the Moses and the law and the prophets did write. They keep reminding him, these were prophesied. These are prophesied actions here. So then, and let me skip this, and I'll go to the second chapter real quick. 49th verse. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. He changed. I guess something good can come out of Nazareth, can it? He was convinced. He experienced this here. So again, had Jesus not gone down to get baptized, and all this happened, and then goes back to Galilee and so forth, what all the effects that, and you think about that, that God, this is where he is physically, of course, Jesus, but and the effects that he had on all those around him. I know a lot of them that would see the miracles that he performed, and then they'd follow him and all, but anyway, so he's back in Galilee. Now, let me move on. One other place, one more stop here. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And y'all are aware of the wedding there, water into wine and so forth. But so they're in Cana of Galilee. Now, Cana was on, I think it was maybe, I may be confusing that with the capital, Sepphoris, of Galilee. But I think it's only about 4 miles from Nazareth. So he goes to this wedding. He's in Cana there. In skipping down to the 11th verse, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. The first of the miracles. Think of all the others, the healings, bringing back to life and so forth. This was the beginning of that. And his disciples believed on him. They believed on him. At this point, and you fast forward to even at his death, burial, and then resurrection, the disciples, the apostles, still they doubted. It wasn't only poor Thomas. They all doubted. They didn't go rush down 3 days later to the tomb, did they? To say, let's go see if this happened. They're fishing or they're back to their regular businesses and all. So they believed they needed this. They needed to see this to then help them in their ministry. We need to see things. This justification by faith where within you, it's like, well, I'll never be able to explain to anybody this event that took place, what I saw, what I felt, but it helps you and you continue and to more strongly believe in him. And he knows when you need that too. He knows, certainly. So then, what I want to get to the 12th verse. After this, he's in Cana, he went down to Capernaum. He and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. All right, they're in Capernaum. But yet, for not many days yet. He'll end up there, but so he went there, and this always, but it's always been a peeve. You know, when somebody I lived in Houston, they said, "Well, I'm gonna where are you going this week? I'm going down to Dallas." No, that's up to Dallas. Capernaum, okay, from Cana, from Nazareth was like east northeast. It was up there. It was on Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, is where it was, Capernaum, kind of around on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. That's where Capernaum was. So that's where they end up here. And they continued there not many days. So beginning in the very next verse, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now he's in Jerusalem. I think that is, from Capernaum, is about 135 miles, and farther than from Nazareth. So they went to Jerusalem. So he's observing the feasts. He's observing Passover and so forth. They're already, and the disciples were used to this. Because when they asked him, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, which we'll observe next Sunday here, when they said, where should we go to prepare for the Passover? So they obviously had done it as disciples, and with Jesus, he's observing this. And he's the only one that could do everything perfectly. So he goes to Jerusalem. So now he's there. He did not. And through all this, as you see where he went and the towns and not even towns that he was at, Jordan, there was no town right there. But he did not go to a great stadium, trying to draw a lot of folks there. And so I want to get my message to as many people as I let me finish it, as I want. Well, he doesn't want for anything. He delights in this and all. But he, of all entities, I should say, people, as a son of God, knew who he wanted to direct that message to. He knew. And so he would go to these places. He knew what he was to do, even in his life, always knowing where he's going to go. And I won't say end up, I guess, before the crucifixion, for the crucifixion and in the resurrection. Now, in the fourth chapter of this Gospel of John, and real quick, just one verse here. So he's down in Jerusalem and all here. Third verse of the fourth chapter of John. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. So he goes back, again, driving 4 hours or whatever it is to Austin and back for a meeting and all, and complain, and then the traffic once you get to Austin, everything. He's traveling all these times, 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles, walking is what he's doing. And again, a thought comes to mind, well, this is God. You know, his feet probably wouldn't have hurt. He wouldn't have, twisted his ankle or anything. He's son of man. He's a son of man. He's going to have to suffer all because the sacrifice had to be a sacrifice of man. Well, certainly the son of God, son of man, was the only acceptable sacrifice for our sins. And this was he. Now in Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, the 12th verse. Okay, and this is where I really began on this thought. So if you don't like it, you can blame the 12th verse of Matthew, 4th chapter. Now, when in the same timing and events here. Now, when Jesus had heard that John the Baptist, was cast into prison, so John the Baptist cast into prison, that's when he sent his disciples, John's disciples, to Jesus, said, "Are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Or should we look? Do we need to look for another?" And all, he go show, go tell John again these things, the miracles I perform there. And so he's in jail. He's in this jail where that took place. So Jesus heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. So there's more information here going from Judea into Galilee. And so to me, it's like, oh, he's fearful. He's afraid that something's going to happen to him. John the Baptist was cast into prison. He hadn't yet been beheaded. Now, again, what I have to stop and think and remember is that the omniscience, the all-knowing attribute of God, Jesus knew that John the Baptist would be beheaded. He already knew that. He certainly didn't cause that to happen, as he doesn't cause the wickedness, sinfulness, and actions in our lives. So no more there. But he heard it, heard that John was cast into prison. When he heard that, he departed into Galilee. Now, many of you, if you look at the definition of that word departed, because I read it and always have, okay, he heard that. Doesn't say, the word so, S-O, is not after that comma. So he heard this, so he departed into Galilee. He heard it, he departed Galilee. That's all there was. He already knew that's where he was going to go. And he certainly has a purpose up there. But departed, one of the words, even in the concordance, is to withdraw. He withdrew. He did not withdraw out of fear. He did not retreat. He is still, just like he didn't retreat or change course when, during that mock trial of his with the high priest and so forth there in the temple Caiaphas and so forth. He didn't retreat or withdraw or try to hide from that. He just left this point. And we'll see if I have time in a moment. And it says, and leaving Nazareth, which is in Galilee, he came and dwelt in Capernaum. Now he's back, and it doesn't say for not so many days. He went to Capernaum. Now, one could say, let me get this real quick. One could say, well, he went from Nazareth, his hometown, where he was raised. A lot of people go home from where they were raised as kids and so on. And he left there and went up to Capernaum up on the Sea of Galilee because it was a great distance from the capital where Herod Antipas had set up the capital at Sepphoris, which is just barely northwest of Nazareth. Oh, he ran over there out of fear. He's going to get away. No, Herod Antipas moved the capital from Sepphoris way over east of there, right on the Sea of Galilee to Tiberias. You can look across to the north and see Capernaum from that capital. He put himself even closer to the capital of Galilee, that Galilean region now, with Herod. He wasn't afraid. Also, let me throw this in while I have a chance. At that time, there were two international highways where people would travel, walk, horses, whatever they used for transportation or for transport of goods and traveling. There were two international highways. One was you go right up, if you imagine or picture from Jericho down there where Jesus was baptized on the east side, straight up that way. So this is way east of the Sea of Galilee. Remember, Capernaum was over here on the north west corner of the Sea of Galilee. The other international highway went right up along the coast of the Mediterranean all the way up, and it went right through Capernaum. Went right through. I'll tell you, two towns that it did not, those highways did not touch. That was Nazareth, was one right in the middle of nowhere. And then another was Jerusalem. Wasn't on it. Those were right in the middle. So you have this major, and I know I think of highways today, you know, drive whatever speed on those and so forth, freeways and all, but these roads of passage here, and they all converged up there on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee, right at Capernaum. He knew exactly where he was moving and departing to, and at Capernaum. He knew this. Jesus Christ. It was not, and we'll see in a moment as I close, it was not out of fear. So again, that scripture, in fact, this begins, the 14th verse of this fourth chapter of Matthew, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet. And it talks about by way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. This was all purposeful, Jesus Christ there, all purposeful. Before I jump over to Luke chapter 4 and close, the 17th verse says, what is the message that Jesus is preaching in Capernaum and in Galilee? From that time, Jesus began to preach to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's preaching the same message that John the Baptist preached that got him into prison there. Same message. No fear in that. I think about Paul and Barnabas and them going back up to the towns where they were beaten, and they had come down to stone him and stir up the Jewish people there and so forth. Then they went back to preach the same message they had preached before. Jesus Christ preaching the same message that John the Baptist is now did. Now in Luke chapter 4, and then I'll wind it up. Again, the four gospel writers, they all cover many times, not always. Same events, same travels, and also as we, and we'll end up here at Capernaum with the footsteps of Jesus. We know where he had gone from there. But in the 14th verse, 4th chapter of Luke, he was tempted. You know, there are several things that happen in there. And 14th verse says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. There's more power here in this man, in Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Here he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, not in fear, not in running off, tail between his legs and so forth. No. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. He knew what he was doing. Don't we? We know that. We know. I don't even, you know, some preachers ask for amens. You know, amen. I don't have to ask for that. I know you know that he knew what he was doing. And he went in power. Wherever he went, he was in great power. And certainly, even on the cross, he knew the moment that he would lay down his life. He knew, and he would ascend back to his Father. What a glorious thing that is there at the end of his earthly footprints, footsteps there. And then he's resurrected, and then he just go up. No, it was needful for him to be here again and walk and be witnessed of those around there. And I'm thankful for that. But he shows us what we need to see. He sees and knows our needs, and that we might continue to believe here in our lives, even as he did physically there. Now, there's two parts in me. One part, yeah, I wish I was there to see all that. And I would literally only want to be a fly on the wall because the danger that was on, because then I would fear. It's like, no, look at all that was going on there. Would I really want to be in there where I would be like the Apostle Peter? It's like, no, I never knew this man. Never have seen him. And curse, you know, and so forth, and to act like I didn't know him. No, but I would love to see those things happen. I would love to see him. But the thing is, we will see him in all his glory one day. I'm talking about physically. We will see him in heaven. We can't see him here. He's not going to be here. He's not going to set foot again here. We know that. We're going to meet him in the air and then forever be with the Lord. And so, yeah, I long for that day and that I can see him. I won't have to see him there at Calvary at the crucifixion, his visage marred more than any. I don't know that I'd recognize him as much as they'd beaten this poor man. That and they let that Barabbas go. They let him go and chose him over Jesus at the time. But he still, at that point, was in the power of the Spirit of God, was performing the will of his Father, and was performing and completing the purpose of God. I would say his purpose, I know they all, the Trinity had different parts of this. The Holy Ghost was not crucified on a cross. He certainly applies that what took place there on the cross to all of the children of God chosen before the world began. And all those, and the same number of people, of which Jesus Christ shed that blood. But the purpose of God is, it is completed in the mind of God. There's nothing that can waver. If he thought, well, Joseph didn't do this or that like I told him in that dream or the angel told him, his purpose is still perfect and it would be accomplished. But it was. And now we can see how we need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. My life, as far as I know, is not being threatened by someone where God has to come. Okay, you need to go. Don't stay in Israel, in Judea. You need to go on back up to Galilee and all. You need to move there. So we may not have those dangers, but God still tells us where we need to go, and we follow his footsteps, even in our lives. May God bless and keep you. Amen, brother. We'll sing a song now and open.